Important. God, we want to be in His presence. We ought to demand His presence. We need it so much. We need His presence now. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, I don't know if you remember what the topic is in Genesis 24. Genesis 24 is, I think it's an important chapter because it gives us a model of some things. You're wondering what we're going to preach on this morning, what I'm going to preach on this morning. And I'm going to preach on an interesting topic. Where I say topic, I rarely do a topical study. But Genesis 24 has a topic in it, and so we're going to go through the passage, and we're going to look at this topic from the passage. We're not going to look all through Scripture on the topic. We're just going to look at Genesis chapter 24. And the topic of the matter is principles for discovering God's will for a spouse. Now, some of you say, what? Why would we go through that? I think it's important for us to understand this. I really do. And you say, well, I'm not looking for a spouse anymore. That's okay. We need to understand some things that God has. Now, just everyone listen as I prepare this just for a moment. God does not address this straight to us in the Scriptures. God does not give us the instruction on here's what you do to discover who I have for you. God doesn't do it. Have you ever thought it interesting that you don't go to Scriptures and there's not a especially a New Testament passage that says, and when a you know, a husband seeks a wife and here's what you do. There's not a passage on that. In fact, you look all through Scripture and you find very little on what God says directly on the topic. You find very little. But we do find places in Scripture that give us models. We do have places in Scripture that give us principles for this very thing. And so this morning, what I would like to do is give you principles, and I want you to take them as principles. And no matter who you are this morning, no matter what stage in life, we have things to learn. Because if it's about life and it's from the Lord, then we ought to understand it. And I think that you, no matter who you are and where you're at in life, you need to understand some things. Now, again, these are principles. These are examples that we get from this passage. Many have thought through, you know, we call it all kinds of different things. You know, we have some young people and they begin dating. Some people prefer to call it courtship, and then some are right in the middle and they call it dorting or something like that, you know. There's all kinds of things, and to tell you the truth, there probably will be, because there's nothing in the Scriptures that tell us exactly how it should be done. But I want to this morning look at some principles, and whether you are a young person here today, and we have a fair amount, and I want to encourage you young people just to take note on what God has for us, and just consider as you maybe someday go through this process. And if you are beyond that, I think it can be helpful as you help people go through this process. And maybe you have grandchildren that will go through it, or just to simply know the Scriptures and what examples are given there. If I could have a couple guys come and help me pass. I've got a handout for you. This morning is going to be completely different. I wouldn't even call it a message. I need a couple guys, all right? Even a couple in the middle. That way we can get this done quickly. And so, there's another one, and then I'll give you part, and then if you want to come down this side, that would be good. Everybody can have, I made, there's like 65 copies, and looking at it, we should be able to have enough for everybody. It's going to be engaged. Now, you're going to look at this, you're going to get it, and I didn't put numbers on here because I didn't want you counting at how many points the message is this morning. But if you quickly go through, well, I'll just tell you, there's 20 points, okay? Now, I'm not going to preach through them like I normally do, so we're not going to, you know, each point is not going to spend 15 minutes on a point, okay? In fact, some of these things I'm just going to go right down through. And I would encourage you, no matter who you are, to go through and write these things down. Go through and write these things down. And so it will be of help to you, and it'll help you to stay connected with us here as we go through this, okay? Again, principles for discovering God's will for a spouse. I think it will be helpful for you. If you're wondering where I'm going to land on anything, you're going to continue to wonder where I land, because I'm not making any statements for dating, courtship, or anything. I want you to go through this passage, and I want you to say, hey, there's some good things that we need to understand about this process, okay? So we're in Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to go start right into it. The chapter actually is a fairly lengthy chapter, and so it's going to take a while, but I think you ought to understand it. So are your ears and mind engaged? I hope so, because I'm going to read, and I'm going to read quickly. I want you to understand the context of where we're at. You remember Abraham has been promised seed, right? He's been promised seed. And he's been promised a nation that is going to multiply as the stars in heaven. And no child comes for years. And Abram is wondering, what is God going to do? You said. And then, of course, Isaac comes, and amazing. And then you know the story about how God calls Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And then miraculously, God provides a lamb. And so Isaac is spared. Well, down the line here, it's time for Isaac to get married. And so here we find ourselves in chapter 24, of Genesis to find out this story. And so I'm going to read very quickly. I'm not going to pause for anything. I'm going to read through the chapter, and then we're going to begin to just quickly go through. And again, I'm not preaching through it. I just want to give some principles. So we better get going before we run out of time, and we have the Lord's Supper this morning as well. So I'm not sure who picked that, but that's what we're going to do. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of that of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also unto they which have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher unto the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man and unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, And when he had heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maidservants and camels and asses. And Sarah's master's wife bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son.' And I said unto my master, 'Peradventure the woman will not follow me.' And he said unto me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to make my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be cleared from my oath.' And I came this day unto the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of my pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son.' And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, 'Let me drink, I pray thee.' And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also.' So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, 'Whose daughter art thou?' And she said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him.' And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left.' Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken.' And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us few days, at the least 10, and after she shall go.' And he said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' And they said, 'We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.' And they called Rebekah and said unto her, 'Wilt thou go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.' And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, 'Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them.' And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. God help us as we go through this passage now quickly. I pray that you would give us some truth that we can observe and practice. In Jesus' name, amen. And you say after reading that, "Wow, is that the model then that I need to follow?" That's a story, isn't it? That's an amazing story. And I cannot say that God leads everybody exactly the same way, and we're not presenting any sort of a thing. You know, and you're thinking here, "Wow, this is, you know, I mean, what about Isaac? What about Rebekah here? You know, they didn't have any say. Is this, you know, are you proposing?" Be careful what you're thinking right now and what I'm proposing. What we're looking at is what the Scripture says, and I'm giving you principles to follow as we look to understand this topic, okay? So we're not suggesting anything like that. We're suggesting, and what we're looking at is what the Scriptures say in this. The Scriptures don't talk a lot about what this process ought to look like. In fact, there's hardly anything, and you're not going to find many passages of Scripture which speak to husbands finding a wife. Just a few, and we might reference some of those, but we do have some stories in the Bible of how wives were found by husbands, or I would suggest you to the Lord. All right, are you ready to fill out some notes here? And I gave you extra room there to write some things if you want to write. We are taking off in a whirlwind here, and so just listen as best you can. If you need to go back through and listen later, feel free to do that, and I'll try to get you the notes that are here. Number one, I want you to see, look at verse 2 that's given here. Notice, it is a serious matter. Number one, is it a serious matter? This is the utmost importance and seriousness. Now notice in verse 2 what takes place. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house," put that ruled over all that he had, "put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh," and then we stop right there. What was this? Abraham's servant is going to come and put his hand underneath his master's thigh. Now I'm going to be very discreet and simple here, but here we have his hand under the element of his physical body that typified circumcision, and this circumcision was God's symbol of his covenant with his people. Very simply, we could get into this further, but this was the symbol. The circumcision was God's visible element of his promise and his seriousness of what he was going to do. And in having the servant put his hand there, he's saying very simply, this is a serious matter. Folks, can I tell you that the issue and matter of a man and a woman discovering God's truth is of utmost importance. And I would suggest to you that our culture and society has made it a very light thing. Something that we just joke about and laugh about and let's hook this up and hey, do you like this? And all that. And I would say, folks, we're doing our young people a disservice by making it light. It is no lighthearted thing. If it was light, then that's probably what Abraham would have done. It wasn't light. In fact, he said, "Listen, what I'm doing here is I am typifying this whole process about what's about to happen. This is God's covenant that's at stake." Serious matter. Folks, we need to understand that. It doesn't mean that you can't smile, you know, when a young man is interested in a young lady, but I want to tell you something. This is a serious matter. It's not something to take light, and it's not something to just go out and do. This is a matter that we need to take before the Lord. So we see the seriousness of the matter. It is a serious matter. The second blank here, we go to verse 3. Let me read verse 3 and then let's go through these. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Number 2, it must be in accordance with God's promises / commandments. No compromising. It must be in accordance with God's promises and commandments. No compromising. You see what happened there? Abraham goes back to what God had given, and he said, listen, God told me this. We need to make sure and abide by this, servant. Don't compromise anything that has already been, that God has given. In the element of discovering who God has, you know, no matter who you are here, we need to make sure it will never violate God's truth. It's never right to do wrong in order for a chance to do right, I think Bob Jones Sr. said. It's never right to do something so that you can. Listen, if God has already made something previously stated and is a command or a promise to us, don't go against it. In the matter of finding, and I hate to use the word find, and you'll see why in just a little bit, but in the matter, just for simplicity, in finding a wife on the man's side of things, listen, we don't compromise. We don't say, well, this isn't right, but I love her. Well, this wouldn't be a good situation, but I care about them. Listen, you never compromise truth. Enough said. Abraham was not willing. He told his servant, which we believe may be Eliezer, he said, listen, we're not compromising anything. God said this, so we cannot compromise the truth. Now, you'll have to put into your situation, but the truth is never compromised when we do this. So it's never okay. It's never okay in the area of again, finding this spouse. It's never okay to do wrong to do it. And you'll have to make the applications there as we go. All right, let's go. The next section is verses 4 to 9, and you can glance over those and we see the next thing. Where did Abraham tell his servant to go? Go back to his kindred. Now, hold on here. We're not talking about that you need to find a wife, you know, guys, that you find a wife in your family. We understand that. I'm not going to get into it. That's not what he's saying. Here's what I want you to see, though, that it should be with like-minded people. Like-minded people. And you see that. He said, go back to my family. And of course, this wasn't, a sister or anything, but this was, go back to the people. These are the people that I know. These are the covenant people. These are the people that know our God. That I want you to go and get your wife out of, get Isaac's wife out of this group of people. The application is for us as we look for that. Listen, we want to stay within like-minded thinking people. We don't want to go out and just be like, well, they're way different than my upbringing. And I'm not saying that they have to have grown up in a home just like yours. But we need to be very careful with going out of the way we were raised, with the principles that we have, the truth, the doctrine that we have. And the biggest principle or the instruction in scriptures is what? And be not unequally yoked, right? And that would even go back to the last note that we took there. That would compromise scripture. God does not allow us to be unequally yoked, and so we wouldn't compromise that. But that's kind of the same thing. Don't go without the community. Don't go without who we are. And we've got to be very careful on the diversity in which we're going. Listen, I think that they're not going to be exactly the same as us. But we've got to be very careful, because I'll tell you, who you are around, you will become. And how many young men and young women have married outside of their circles, and it has compromised their lives? And I just want to give you, again, I don't have time to develop this, but we've got to be careful with letting go with this idea. And we see here there was a like-minded group of people that was so important, and Abraham understood this. He understood that it was important. And so we don't change the yoke there. We don't go without of who we are. And young people, I want to encourage you to be praying about a spouse that is very like-minded the way you are brought up, with the same values, similar ways of life. Again, they're not going to be perfect, but you'll be praying for that. And I put the focus on the prayer, and you'll see in just a moment, be praying that God would lead you to somebody that is like that, there's a lot in common that we have here. Let's go to the fourth thing that we have, and there's 2 points that I have, and you'll be able to find them. One is on the front, one is on the back, that are in all caps. And these are the 2 main points that I want you to see out of this, of these 20 things this morning. Number 4 is, it ought to be parent-directed. It ought to be parent-directed, or I could say involved at least. Parent involvement or parent direction. Notice this, and we're not going to take time to read all the verses, but when we look at this story, who was the one that was kind of in control of this whole thing? Well, we know God was, but Abraham was the one that was leading this. And I will say this. You say, what are you getting at, Pastor? Because parent directed, does that mean that this is parent chosen? That's not the case. Did Abraham choose Rebekah? No. It wasn't chosen. It wasn't necessarily chosen by Isaac either. But what we see here is there was parental involvement. I want you to think about the other stories. There's not many. Oh, we read in lots of Old Testament passages, and so man took unto him a wife, right? And what happened in the process? Do we know? Not really. We just know that he took a wife. But the stories that are in detail are kind of prominent that we have. We don't have many. The first one that's kind of not even taken a wife, but go to the very first husband and wife situation. Where was that? In the garden. And who did Adam have? Did he have a dad? Not really. All he had was God, right? And who picked his wife? God did. We start with Adam, and of course we come here to this story. Would be one of the first ones that we see detail about. A little bit later, we find Ruth. We find Ruth. You know, there's a story of Ruth. And Ruth really didn't. The story, she doesn't have her parents, but she has her in-laws. Well, I say one of them, her mother-in-law. But I want you to think just for a moment. What's pronounced in the story about Ruth? She followed the direction of her leadership, didn't she? I mean, think about Naomi. It was Naomi that said, I want you to go and do this. Now, parents and young people don't say, you know, wait, I got to wait for my dad to tell me who to go to. That's not the point. The point is there was an involvement by parents that was there. Young people, I want to tell you, the safest thing that you can do when you're going through this process is to listen to your parents. And parents, you need to be involved and you need to be directing. It doesn't mean that you need to pick, but you need to be involved. And you need to be kind of directing your children in this process so that they can discover truth. God uses, kids, listen to this. God uses parents to give your will, God's will to you. Your parents are God's voice to you. You need to listen to them. And I would advise against any young person that wants to get married against his parents' authority and advice, even if those parents are unsaved. Now, are there some exceptions? There can be some exceptions. I'm not making any blanket statements, but I will say this. You're always safe in listening to your parents. Always safe in listening to your parents. You say, what if they're not saved? What if they don't know the Lord? Guess what? God can still direct parents, just like he directs wicked kings. Like in the story of Esther, and that would bring us to the next one. You know what, Esther, did she get married? Yes. And she didn't have her parents there, but who did she have? She had Mordecai, right? And Mordecai was there kind of leading her even into that. Now, God was doing it ultimately, but there was that, in a sense, that parental direction. And I can't go on, and I would love to develop this more, but I want to say this. There needs to be parental involvement Parents, you get involved and direct them. And kids, children, young people, you need to listen. You need to listen. It is not just about Billy going out and meeting Susie at school and deciding they're going to get married, and the parents are saying, great, we're going to have a great time. That is not the way God put anything in the Scriptures. In fact, I think there was only one instance in the Scriptures that we really know about in where a young man went out and he found his own wife and came back and told his parents. You remember that situation? Who was it? Samson. How did that turn out? I'm going to tell you something. We need to pay attention to the examples. I cannot preach doctrine about this morning, but I am giving you some principles and some patterns in the Scripture that we need to follow, or at least we need to sit up and listen and pay attention to. Okay? We see that there ought to be parent direction. All right, go down to verse 10. Go down to verse 10, and we see here, and the servant took, okay, he's got his instructions, and the servant took camels, of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia into the city of Nahor. The next thing that we see, it takes action, but here's the point, at the directed time. To everything there is a what? Season. We estimate Isaac's age here probably around 30. And there was a time. Now this doesn't mean that you can't do anything until 30. In fact, I would advise against it unless God hasn't done it. It's not about that, but it's just about God's time. This was time, and all of a sudden Abraham says, you know, listen, Isaac needs a son, and he was prompted, I believe, of the Lord to do it. And I want you to see that it does take action. And here, this servant, he gets the camels and he gets things ready and he goes, but it was at the Lord's timing. It was the Lord's directed time in which they did this. And we need to be praying. Listen, praying. I'm going to say that word a lot this morning. We need to be praying for God's right time. Praying for God's right time in the matter of when it is that time. And the Lord knows. We do not know what that time is, and so we need to be praying for that time, and because of time we need to move on. Alright, next, look at verse 12. I think this is very interesting. And so he went to the well, and he said, O Lord God, so he gets to the well, and here's his prayer. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. We see next, it is not our job to find, I'll put that in there in parentheses, it is not our job to find a spouse, it is God's responsibility. Now, and I know what some of you are thinking immediately. Your mind goes to a verse. Now, I'm going to say it again. It is not our job to find a spouse. It is God's responsibility. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says what? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You say, Pastor, that seems to go against what you were saying. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's interesting, though, that the word find that we have here, he that findeth, is to attain or to arrive at a resting place. It's to get to that point. He that, you know, if we could say it again, he that God leads into that marriage, he finds himself in that place, that's a good place to be. The focus is not on the going out and searching. In fact, we could go to Jeremiah chapter 29 and look at verse 3, and that's the verse that talks about, you could just write it down, we don't have time to go there. That's the one that says, you know, if you seek me, you shall find me, if you search with all your heart. Remember that passage? Well, guess what? There's a couple different words there. The word that is used for seeking there is not this word. But the word that is used there that you shall find me. It's the end point. It's the resting place you'll get there. The focus is not on going out and looking behind every rock and door and whatever for that husband. That's not the point. He that findeth a wife, he that ends up in that place, who, if God provides a husband or a wife or a spouse, then that's a good thing. That's the point. Our job is not to go out and to find. It is God's. Did you notice what was said there? Again, we look down at verse 12. He says, O Lord, God of my master Abram, I pray thee, or I pray you, you send me good speed this day and show kindness to my master. You've got to do this. It is not our job. Now let me stop here and say, if you did not go about it in this way, listen, the point is not to make you feel bad. I did. I didn't do it this way. But I would say this, there's a lot of good things that I've learned from it. And so we need to be there. So don't even go there. We just need to see, what does God's word say here? It's God's. God is going to be the one. Let me ask you a question. Is God capable of doing this work? What do you think? Is God capable of finding, or, and it's not that he has to find, he already knows. Is God capable of putting two people together? Absolutely he is. And he knows exactly what ought to be done. And he knows when, and he knows who. And so, take a time out here, and this is what I get at. I scratch my head a little bit of why we take so much time and work and emphasis on trying to discover ourselves who is right. We ask a lot of questions of, you know, I remember Melissa and I's first date, and I had a list of things like you wouldn't believe. What do you think about this? And what would you do in this situation? And how would you, and we want to discover everything we can, right? What am I doing when I'm doing that? I am trying to do my homework and find the right one. Can I tell you what? God already knows. Why wouldn't I go to him? And I'm telling you, I'll just say this, there's a whole lot of pressure on me if it's up to me. Think about it. There's a lot of pressure on me, because what if I make a mistake? I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people out there today that say, man, I messed up. I made a mistake. I didn't know he was going to be like that. I didn't know she was going to be like that. Now, I'm not going to make any statements concerning those situations because I don't know them, but I will tell you this, you're always safe when God finds them. You're always safe when God finds them. But when it's up to us, now, can God work through me trying to find? He can. And he still is such a good God. And it doesn't matter what method and what title we call it. God is good and he still does his work. See, that's the glory thing about this. Is there's no, like, this is how it has to happen. I'm just giving you principles in scripture of a wonderful story that did happen. Okay? And so, it is not our responsibility. Look also in verse 12. Did you notice it's a result of God's kindness? You know, back in Proverbs, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth what? Favor of the Lord. You know, I mean, this is a blessed situation, and this is God's goodness. It is God's desire for the most part for people. There's some that he doesn't want that, but for the most part it is, and this is a result of God's kindness. Just thought I'd throw that out to you. We continue on. As we look at verses 10 to 14 and we go through this, I mean, do you remember the prayer that this servant Eliezer prays? Isn't it kind of amazing? I mean, I'm going to go here. This is what I'm going to pray. I need this. A young lady's going to come out. This is what I'm praying, God. I want, you know, and she's going to ask me. Then on top of that, she's going to ask, you know, to do this. And then, I mean, it's almost like, okay, now I'm too scared to pray a prayer like that. I don't know about you, but it's like, and I'm not suggesting that in everything we have to like say, all right, the stars fall and I'll know. But what's the point? I'll tell you what the point is. It's a result, or it is an act of faith. When we're talking about this, this is an element of faith. See, a lot of times in our situations, the way a lot of the world does it is we put it on us, and it's not, we've got to see it, we've got to feel it, we've got to touch it, we've got to understand it. That's not what God says. Now, that's not the example of what's given here. I need to be careful in how I say it. It's given, this is a step of faith. And I would submit to you that it is a step of faith. We've got to trust God. We've got to trust God in this. It's also a result. If you look at verses 15 and 21, we see it's also a result of God's sovereignty. I mean, you look at verse 15, and it came to pass. What was the result of this amazing prayer? What happened? It happened. Wow. I'd love to be able to pray like that. But folks, it's not beyond us. It's not, but it has nothing to do with us. It's faith. He just prays, God, I need to know. Master Abraham needs this. And you see the stress on Eliezer's face when he leaves. How am I going to know? I'll tell you what. Listen, is everybody listening? How am I going to know? You better go to God. You better go to God and ask him to do some things. You better step out in faith for him to lead. It's a result of God's sovereignty in verse 21. And the man wondered. So he sees all of this happen. And you know his jaw's about this wide. It happened. But notice, and the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And I would submit to you, even after he had seen God's work, it wasn't done yet. It wasn't done. Look at verse 16 really quickly. I want you to see this. Some of you young men are out there and you're scared to death. And say, I don't want God picking my wife. I need to see her. I have a certain thing that I'm looking for, whatever. Listen, I want to tell you something. This is the next one. It will result in God's best. You don't have to worry an ounce about it. You don't have to worry, well, what if God gives me, what if, no, you don't have to worry. Notice, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Folks, I want to tell you something. You don't have anything to worry about. God will give you the very best for you because that's what he does. He will always give the best. All right, go to the other side. We see, look, I already read verse 21. The man wondering at her held his peace. You know what? You say, well, he prayed. It's already a done deal. No, I don't think that God made it a done deal with just a fancy prayer and answering that. They're still with, that he needed to talk to some people. And God uses that. But we see next that it must be done through with patience. Okay, that doesn't make sense. It must be gone through with patience. You know what? As we go through this, or as young people go through this process, it needs to be a patient thing. Not so that you can figure out if all the ducks are in a row. It needs to be patient so that God has time to work and lead. And we'll get to that in just a moment of why that's so important when we go to the story, when actually this servant gets to where her home is and they go through the story. You're going to see that patience paid off, okay? And so it must be gone through with patience. Verses 22 to 25 here. And so he goes, or he sees all this, and we see next that it pays close, this process pays close attention to life circumstances. You remember the circumstances there. Rebecca said what? Well, hey, listen, I'll take you back to, and we've got a place for you to stay, and we've got food and all this. That was an amazing part of the story. And Eliezer can look at this and say, wow, God put together circumstances to help me see this. I get to go to her home and talk to her, talk to the family. I want to just encourage you that we need to pay close attention to the circumstances that God gives us around this time of life, and pay attention because God puts things there and he takes certain things away so that he can lead and guide you. He'll put obstacles there to keep you from something. I praise the Lord for different obstacles back in my life with other people that I could have been with. Praise God that he put obstacles there. And then he opens the door in other ways. We've got to pay attention to those things because God puts those things there. So pay attention to life circumstances. Look at verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. And the man bowed down his head. This is when he's seen all this. And worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. We see here, it is about recognizing God's leadership in our lives. God leading and guiding. He recognized God's leadership in his life. And I would just want to encourage you that we've got to recognize God's leading, God's guiding. God is the one. You know, we can get frustrated with circumstances and situations, but I tell you what, God's in control of those things, and we need to take it from Him. If God does this, then that's God. That's not that young lady. That's not that young man. That's not those parents. Listen, this is God's. And you can trust God in this matter. You say, well, that seems like a mistake. Well, they don't understand. Listen, it's God's. God can do anything, and He is not going to let you make a mistake. I believe that with all of my heart. Listen to this. If we search for God, if we seek for God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. He will take care of everything, and I don't believe that we can make a mistake if we want to know God's will. Young people in the room, I want to tell you something. You're safe if you want God's will. Now, if you want your own will, you're not so safe. But if you want God's will, you're safe. You're absolutely safe. Because God will not let you mess up. He's not going to trick you. You've got to want God's will. Now, I understand that there are some circumstances, and some of you could come up with some stories. Well, what about this? And they didn't know anything about that. And I don't know all the details. I just want you to know that God doesn't make mistakes. And I can't give you the answers for those details, but I know that God doesn't make mistakes. We move on to this, and I know there's probably a lot of questions that some of you have, just given the examples in this passage. Notice what the servant said in verse 27. What did he say? I, being in the way. Was that David or Andrew preached that message not too long ago, preached something about that? Didn't somebody, one of you preach that? I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And so I won't preach that again, but the fact of the matter is the servant was in the way, the truth, and the life. That's the person of Jesus Christ. You know, and we have relationship and fellowship with God, and we walk with Jesus. You know what? God leads us. Eliezer was in the way. He wasn't about his own agenda. He was about God and His leadership, and God, that just reiterates what I just said. God's not going to mess with us and mess us up. And so we be in the way, make sure that we're walking with the Lord, make sure we want God's will, not our own will. All right, that brings us to the next big element that I want you to bring out. First of all, it's parent-directed or at least involvement, but the next one is it must be prayer-driven. And if I would give any young person or some parents two things that I think are very important for you, it's this: no matter how you go about it or what you do or what your children do or your grandchildren, two things. Parent needs to be directing and involved there. That is an absolute given. And the second thing, it needs to be prayer driven. It absolutely needs to be prayer driven. You've got to go to the Lord and ask Him for His direction. Notice that this was all driven by Eliezer. He goes to God and says, God, I need You to show up. I need You to do this. You need to put the circumstances. You need to do the truth. You've got to put all these things together. And he prayed for it, and God answered. And I want to encourage you, you don't go into anything without prayer. You make a decision without prayer, and you are vulnerable to messing up because you're not going. God tells us to go to put in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then he gives the promise of how he's going to direct. So we've got to pray through this. It's got to be, if there's two things, no matter how you do it, if there's two things that are important, the parents need to be involved in directing, and number two, there's got to be tons and tons of prayer. Question, can God lead through prayer? He can. You've got to trust it. You've got to trust that prayer. You're prone to mess up, you know, on your own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, if I am relying upon what I see and my analysis and my approach, and by the way, that's very normal. The normal process that we in our culture go through in finding a wife is that we do everything we can to look. And folks, I'm telling you, I am going to make a mistake. God will not. We need to follow Him in prayer. Prayer direction, we're out of time. Let me give you these last. This story is amazing. It needs to be discovered by both sides. What happened there with that family? Eliezer goes, and did you see what? No, and I put the word discovered there. Underline that word also. It should be discovered. How did these people discover? Because when Laban and when brother and father answered, what was their response? And how did they get to that? Their response was, well, sure. How did they get to that? Because Eliezer went through the whole story about what God had done. Really? You prayed what? And she did that? In the end, they said, what am I supposed to say to this? God put that together. And that is so helpful with this situation. And that's why when God does work, then it's going to make so much more sense to people around. Like, wow, look what God has done. And that, of course, you know, through the leadership direction and through the prayer, God's leading, people understand. It was a family-involved decision. Did you notice that? Now, hold on here. So I'm going to be like, oh, so I got to get all my siblings to agree to this. I got to get everybody. I got to call grandma and grandpa and get everybody's. No, I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you what. It was very consistent. And I think it was a neat thing. You know, there was a family that was involved there. And I'm not saying this is not setting a precedent that it has to be that way. But I'll tell you what. I think it's a healthy thing. Because when you marry into a family, you're marrying into a family. Isn't that true? You are. And so you've got to, I think this is just a bonus. This is a blessing. You know, the family was involved. And then I put next, it must be accepted by the potential bride. Obviously, hey, this is what God said. You're coming. You know, in the end, did you see that in verse 58? It was brought to her and they still asked her, so what do you say to this? If Rebecca would have said no, what would have happened? It'd have been done. And listen to this. God had led all the way and no mistakes were made. And if Rebecca would have said no, there would still be no mistakes. God led them up to that point. And that was God's will. But she said yes. And that completed that process. I'm not presenting to you today, nor is God presenting you that this is just something that's chosen and the kids have nothing to say about it. No, there's just following parents, there's praying, there's being in the way, there's watching what God's doing through the circumstances, presenting it, being patient, letting God. So what do you think? Here's what God's done. What do you think? Yeah, how can I argue? And I understand it might not go exactly like this story. I'm just giving you principles of a situation that worked out well. We don't have much to go on. But what we do have, there's some good things for us to learn. It must be accepted by the potential bride, of course. To tell you the truth, in this story, there's one that's left out a little bit more, and that was Isaac. I mean, he really didn't have much. So again, I'm not saying that, you know, guys are like, oh no. This is just a story that we can get some principles from, okay? Let's finish it out. It is not about, I've already told you this, so this will make sense. It's not about our personal discovery or work. If I can get one thing into you, besides the two main points, this is parent-directed, prayer-driven. This is not about our personal discovery and work. I want to tell you something. It is not about us discovering, I've got to figure it out. I've got to find. I've got to ask a million questions. And I'm not saying it is not bad to ask some questions, but I'll tell you what, there's no fear. As I raise my children, I am not afraid that they asked every single question to make sure everything checked. I'm not worried about it. What I'm worried about is that we spend the time praying through it and that God leads. That's what I'm concerned about. And being in the way, being patient. So it's not about our personal discovery or work. It is, lastly, about discovery and recognition rather than finding what I want or think is good. Discovering what God has. And that is laborious through prayer. But I'll tell you what, it's much easier to pray than it is to go out and find. So here we have a story. It doesn't mean that every story is going to look the same. But I tell you what, I tried to get out of this message today. It's not even really a message. I tried because I thought, why do these people? I tried a couple times and God didn't let me out of it. And so I'm giving it to you for what it's worth. But I hope it's helpful. Even to you, you say, I'm not in that part of that boat of life. Yeah, but it helps you to have some understanding of some truth that's given there. The scriptures are very, I hesitate to say silent because I wouldn't call this silence, but Not a lot of doctrinal things that tell you this is how it has to be done. You don't have to do this. But I think when we look at some stories, there's just a few stories of how it's done, we can be safe. We can be safe by following some good principles that are there and making sure that we let God do that. That's the biggest thing, is letting God do it, not us. And He'll protect us. Father, I pray that You would help us. Super interesting thing that You had me to share it this morning. But Lord, I pray for, well, first of all, I pray for every young person in this room. Lord, I pray that they would give it to You and not themselves. Lord, I pray for the parents and grandparents in this room or people of influence, leadership. Lord, I pray for them that You would help encourage them in the right way and protect our young people from going out and trying things out. And God, it's treacherous, it's dangerous. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be super serious about this. We started off with seriousness. Lord, help us to be serious and understand this is a thing of Yours, but yet understand that it's a blessing of the Lord. So God, help us. Thank You for the truth that You've given. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.